Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
You're listening to Real College Podcast, and I am your host, Alex Schumacher. This week, we are devoting the entire half an hour of our episode to an interview our producer, Ben Hallam, did with musician Jeff Rosenstock. And while I don't have any more introduction, so I'm just going to let Ben take it away, and this is the interview.
This is like a really sturdy looking recorder you have there.
But yeah.
How heavy is this? Like,
it's pretty heavy if you want to feel it.
Oh yeah. This is quality stuff. Quality solid state recorder.
That's Jeff Rosenstock, a performing artist and person who's been active in the punk and DIY music scenes since 1995 in bands like ASOB, Bomb the Music Industry, and now a project under his own name. Real College Podcast reporter Ben Hallam talked to Jeff about politics, success, and songwriting last May before his show in the Hole Music Club.
So I guess we can start by just talking about you're here today at the Hole Music Club, and I know for some of your tours, or for this tour, you've been talking about trying to do under $15 and all ages shows. Was that part of the decision to come to Hole Music Club?
I think for us, Minneapolis can be tough because it's really hard to find all ages venues, and that's kind of like the first, like, bottom line thing is just like make sure the show is all ages, and then we'll try and figure out wherever. And it's really hard. Like, I know we played 7th Street Entry, and that was 18 and plus, but like if you had a Guardian you could get in, and then that was a whole thing. Then we usually, like, we play out in Burnsville a lot at the Garage because it's like a sick all ages club, but like we're always trying to find different ways to do it in the city. And I think that's part of why we're here. Also, they asked us. I don't know. It's like our buddy Greg, who books us, figures it all out and, like, does a lot of formulas and spreadsheets and calculations that is like, this makes sense. And I'm like, all right, Greg, I trust you. Let's do it. Yeah. But I've seen all the flyers up here. It's crazy. A lot of bands have played here, huh?
Yeah.
I just saw the flyer for the Dillinger 4 Animal Chin Lifter Puller show, which for me is like, whoa. Those are like three of my favorite bands growing up. That must have been a crazy show. We wouldn't be too scared to say that we don't want to live inside of hell. Waste our energy on all these a-holes. We don't want to live inside of hell.
Last time you were in Minneapolis, I think it was the night before the election, or shortly before that.
We were
that.
Here since then. We're here at the
Minnesota. Oh, yeah, no. Last, when we you were in Radio K, when you were in studio in Radio K.
Yeah.
And so I guess one of the things I think a lot of people have been talking about with the albums, like, especially with Worry and Post, like, they're feeling, like, a little bit more of, like, a political album, or, like, just how has that influenced your songwriting, or do you think that's changed recently, or...?
I think that, it was a handful of things. It was one that I just kind of, I felt like I was writing about a lot of the same subject matter from record to record. Not like really, but like a lot of just like internal stuff, you know, just kind of like mental health stuff or depression stuff or anything like that. And after We Cool, I was just like, I just want to challenge myself and try to not do that. And I was trying to write like a positive record with Worry, but like I'm a crazy person, so I can't. It's just like, and like while I was writing, just that was around the time of Eric Garner being like choked to death by police in New York City for selling Lucy's in Harlem, and like Freddie Gray being thrown in the back of a police van and like beaten and left for dead. And those were things that were just like kind of, I feel like I usually write lyrics when there's just like stuff that I can't get out of my head and I can't wrap my brain around how it's possible that it's happening, or I can't just understand it, you know what I mean? And a lot of that stuff and just general gentrification issues in Brooklyn were the things that I was just thinking a lot about with Worry, and with Post it's kind of like same thing where you know, just trying to process everything after the election. So it wasn't like, all right, now is the time. Let's make a political whatever. Let's make a political statement. It was just like what I was honestly feeling. And I try to just kind of write about what I'm honestly feeling. Also, in my mind, I mean, we're a punk band, you know, and I felt like I didn't see as much as I expected to see coming out, especially before the election, just about everything that was happening in our country. But like, yeah, just, I guess kind of the things I was talking about, I didn't hear people talking about. And I thought about like how during George W. Bush's presidency, that like stuff like that, that I was listening to meant a lot to me and kind of helped guide me to like understand stuff that maybe I was like, hey, everything seems really screwed up. And it just kind of made me feel better to hear other people and people making music that I liked, like kind of voicing the same opinions. So like, not that that caused me to do it, but that made me feel a little bit less uncomfortable about talking about more political stuff, which I'm always a little bit fearful of, because I know that I don't know everything. And I know that, like, you know, there's like a stack of like 100 books that I would need to read before I can like fully understand the prison industrial complex in America and the embedded racism and police force in America and stuff like that, and just like the capitalist greed that like drives us into situations where we have like a fascist president, basically. So like, I understand that there's more detail and more nuance to it than I just always need to educate myself further and further and further on it, and that has kind of pushed me away from writing about that stuff. But I think that just trying to challenge myself to do it is why it ended up that way. And especially like the response to Worry, which was pretty positive, was just like, okay, I feel good that I challenged myself, and I feel good that I tried to do something that I was like a little afraid of talking about because I didn't hear other people talking about it. But like, kind of back to the same thing, we're like thinking about like when I was like first getting into punk, like the stuff that I was listening to was usually stuff like that just kind of got me fired up about stuff. So just kind of trying to, I don't know, always having that like in my heart about the stuff that I like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's how it ended up.
That's a long answer.
Sorry. You just compress it for time.
That's all right.
Chipmunk voice for a little bit. And, yeah.
Moving on to the reception to Worry, it was kind of really big getting a review in Pitchfork and then moving to the next summer playing at Pitchfork Festival.
Yeah.
And kind of moving in like that. How has that reception kind of been for you? Kind of.
I mean, it's obvious. It's nice. It's a surprise. Like, we're like, this is now our job, and like we have, you know, we're playing bigger stuff, and it's doing well, and it's exciting. But I like, you know, there's still, I don't know. I'm adjusting to it, and I don't expect it to be there forever. So I feel like I need to like get comfortable with it before it just like goes away, because it goes away for everybody. But it's really fun playing the shows, and it's been really fun. Like, it's just been really nice meeting people, and I really like all the people who I've met at the shows, and I feel like we have a really positive environment at our shows, and that it's bigger just kind of feels like it means that there's like a lot of people who are having like a good positive time away from a lot of garbage and bad stuff that's happening. And I feel really lucky that we get to be the band for these 15 minutes that like provides that space for people, you know what I mean? So it's cool, it's rad, it's exciting. Like, we played big shows on this tour, and like going into them, I was like nervous, just because that's how I'm like a nervous person. It was awesome. Like, the big shows were really fun, and we had a fun time. It just kind of feels nice, and I feel really grateful for it. And I also know that I just need to get over my stupid mental crap and like enjoy myself every now and then, instead of just like working and warming up and stretching and changing my strings and thinking about this and thinking about that. Yeah.
And then I guess talking about the new record Post, what was your songwriting process like for that record, or what is your songwriting process like generally, or just how do you come up with songs?
I just kind of like, I try to, I, the, I, hmm, let me try and put this together. I think when I was working on We Cool, which, like, at that point, I'd written a bunch of records about the music industry and a bunch of records with ASOB. And Sean from AJJ had recommended this book called Songwriters and Songwriting, which had, like, interviews with, like, Warren Zevon and Madonna and Townes Van Zandt and Neil Young. And I liked Neil Young a lot, and I was really getting into Neil Young at the time. So I read that interview first, and one of the things that he had said that he does, because I know a handful of people who, like, do this with most of their time or full-time now, and they talk about how they set aside time for writing. And whenever I do that, it just sounds like forced garbage, and I don't like it. I read this interview with Neil Young where he had said that he doesn't, like, have any rules for songwriting, and he doesn't set aside time. He doesn't, like, have, like, office hours or anything like that. But if he starts thinking of a song, he'll stop what he's doing, and he'll just kind of chase the idea. And he'll figure it out, and he'll try and write the whole song if he can, even if it's bad, fix it later, like, whatever. And so I've just kind of been doing that more and more, where when I think of stuff, I'm, like, always just kind of thinking about it in my head, and if I ever get a chance to just, like, sit down with a guitar with it, like, I'll just try and, like, bang it out real quick and just try and get something down there and just kind of always, you know, it's just always rattling around in my head. So, and that's helpful for when you're on tour and stuff, because you don't really have time to just sit down and do that. So that's like a double whammy. It's like, I have no time. And even if I did have the time, I'd sit down and it wouldn't be good. So I just kind of had a lot of stuff that I was just writing and working on and just thinking about a lot. And then I was lucky enough that two buddies of mine have, like, a double wide trailer up in the mountains in New York. And I had, like, a few weeks off between the Cartoon Network stuff and between tour and between everything, that I was able to just go up there for, like, a week with my, like, with my guitars. And, like, I bought a Juno synthesizer that day that I was, like, looking to buy for, like, 10 years. I, like, bought one and went up to the mountains with, like, my laptop, with my computer, and, like, loaded in over, like, a snowy field and, like, set up all my wires and all my crap and just kind of sat down and fleshed out all these ideas that I was just, like, thinking of. And, like, I knew, like, what in my head they sounded like, but I haven't heard, like, what actually sounded like in practice. So that's kind of how I've been writing more now. It's just, like, just kind of writing and, like, writing lyrics and writing songs. And, yeah, just kind of when I get the chance, like, just in bulk, like, trying to just, like, get them all out of there and see what they sound like and try and make sense of it. And then see, like, if it sounds like a album or if it seems like any of them make sense together, and just kind of take it from there. And that's how Post and Worry both kind of were, and it seems like that's just kind of a natural flow for me for songwriting, if that makes sense. I don't think that there's any, like, I think everybody's different about it, though. I think that, like, something that really was off-putting to me for a while, that kind of scared me for a while, was that people were saying, like, yeah, you know, like, if this is your job, which I'm, like, already just, like, I'm not, like, oh, trying to make this my job. Like, we just kind of all like playing music, and this is happening. We're not going to, like, turn down the chance to do stuff, but it's not like, you know, it definitely wasn't like that when it all started picking up. But people who would tell me, like, if this is your job, like, you have to treat it seriously and have office hours and, like, you know, wake up and force yourself to write. And even if it's bad, like, get it out. And, like, that just seemed so miserable to me. And for me, like, music is a really, like, joyous and positive thing. And I didn't like thinking about it like that. So I was really happy to read that and to know that, like, there's different ways to do it. And that, like, if you want to do it like that, that does work for a lot of people. Like, Chris Farren, like, will sit down and, like, write a song every day for a month just because he knows he has to do it. And, like, that's how he gets his best stuff out of him, is, like, 3 out of 4 of those songs will be amazing. But I think it's just, like, it's different for everybody.
Do you find that the songwriting process is different when you're writing for things like Craig of the Creek, or when you're working on, like, a project like Antarctica Vespucci with Chris Farren? Is the songwriting process different then?
Yeah, it's way different. With Craig of the Creek, it's kind of like a ultra fast version of what I was just talking about, which will be, like, me and Ben Levin, one of the creators, will talk about, I'll watch the episode, then we'll talk about it, and I'll just be like, yo, man, just, like, give me the scoop. What like, movies are you thinking about when you make this? Like, what were you thinking about when you made this episode? And he'll tell me a lot about, like, just the emotional arc and just, like, everything, like, the sounds and vibes that he's thinking. I'm just like, okay, cool. Yeah, I got some ideas. Then we'll watch it and we'll write down notes. And then, like, I will watch it and just try and come up with ideas, just try and come up with like a melody, just like anything, especially at the start of it, because it was just like a blank slate. Like now, like, you know, Kelsey and JP and Craig and Kit, who runs Trading Tree, like, and the Forest Scouts, and like, they all have their own like melodic themes now, and they all have their own elements that like make their sounds. But what it started out was just like, okay, I just got to come up with something right now and then just like flesh it out, and then if it's bad, I'll fix it later. Like, it's a lot of just like, just get it all down there and then like go back, and if it sucks later, change it later. But you have like a week to do 3 episodes because you're an idiot and you're on tour all the time, so you have like a tiny amount of time to do all this. So that's like a very like high pressure, just like come up with as fast as possible. But I think I'm so stoked on so much of that stuff, because it's just like, it's kind of like no fear. It's just like, there's no time to be afraid that you're going to mess this up. Just like get it down there. And I think a lot of that is a lot less like overthought than how it can get with stuff that I'm doing on my own. And I just have like months and months to think about it. Like, it feels more urgent to me, which I think is fun for a kid's cartoon. And with Chris's Antarctica Vespucci stuff, it's like, I feel like the thing that like 80% of the time that I like the most about songwriting is like finding the vibe with the instruments and like the feeling and stuff. So with Antarctica Vespucci, it's like Chris has already like figured out like melody and like chords and all that stuff. And he's like already has a great song. So like I could just kind of focus on like, okay, Chris, what kind of vibe are we going for? Okay, I think we can make it like this. And I think like we can make the song do cool stuff if we like do this in the second verse, or like do this. So it's kind of like I get to just like do the going back over it and being like, all right, let's like turn this into a thing, which I guess now that I think about it, like that's what I do a lot with Craig the Creek. That's what I do a lot with my stuff, is just kind of like the first part of it, which is like just getting past the first draft of the idea, where like it's still a lot of the time is not like what I hoped it would be. And I know I sound like a very like weird person talking about this stuff. This is like all I think about all the time. But like getting past that is really like a big step for me, because it takes a lot of confidence, which is something that I struggle with. It is just like a lot of confidence to be like, all right, this is good enough to be definitive and be the thing. And Chris has already done that in Antarctica Vespucci. I'm like, all right, this is the thing, and this is how we'll change it. He's like, all right, cool, what about this? I'm like, all right, cool, what about this? He's like, all right, cool, what about this? We just kind of like bounce ideas off each other for a while, and the song's done, and we're like, sick, the whammy guitar sounds sick, all right, you know?
So I guess continuing on with talking about songwriting, something I think notice about like a lot of your songs is that a lot of times like the music and the instrumentation can be like very uplifting or like building, while at the same time like a lot of the lyrics can be about things like anxiety or like sadness. Or so do you think, do you just come to it with two different approaches, or when you're writing instrumentation and lyrics?
I think so. I have been asked this a handful of times, and I don't really know how to answer it. I feel like if I tried to figure out how to answer that, then I would screw up my whole thing that I'm doing, you know? But if I think about it, I just kind of like, when I'm writing music, it's more of a thing that like pops into my head versus when I'm writing lyrics. And that's just kind of like something that like I have to sit down and think about, like just try and like solve a puzzle, basically. Just try and be like, how do I put into words what I'm trying to do, what I'm feeling? How do I put it to words, like this thing that like I have a hard time explaining to people when I'm talking to people about stuff? Like, and it goes back to like, I don't know, trying to explain, you know, whether it's like emotions or anything that like I don't know how to explain, that I still like, when I feel them, I'm like, oh, here's this stupid thing again. Or like, you know, trying to talk about stuff that I understand that like I only have a certain amount of information about, and that like if I got in an argument with a smart person, they would like school my ass on it, you know? So I think that I come from that from a very, like, you know, sit down, like, stream of consciousness, just, like, force yourself to, like, get over that feeling that you're stupid and, like, just write it and, like, it's okay. And if it's stupid, you can fix it later. Whereas with music, it's just kind of like, all right, man, I'm holding the guitar. Woo, 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 you know? And I think that... I think I probably do come at it from two different places, but also, like, I'm not sure. Like, it doesn't, I don't really know. I don't know why I write the way I write. It's just kind of always has been how I write. I know that a lot of music that I listen to is generally really poppy, whether it's just, like, pop punk stuff or whether it's, like, you know, kind of, like, ornate, like, real pop music like Beach Boys or Belle and Sebastian or ELO or anything like that. I think a lot of the stuff I like always does feel really triumphant musically. So I think, I don't know, if I try and write a song in a minor key, I'm just always waiting for the part of the song that like feels like the summer. You know what I mean?
And talking about, I guess, music that influenced you, your like background or like roots are in like ska music and yeah. ska punk.
Yeah.
Can you talk about can you talk about how that's like influenced your music or something like that?
Well, I think it's where I grew up, it's where I first started playing and in Long Island when I was growing up, it was just such a nice thing to have. So, like, the way Long Island is set up, basically, it's, like, you have a bunch of towns that are, like, 2 miles big, and each town has, like, a poor part, and each part is a rich part, and each town has a middle-class part, and they're all right next to each other, and they all have a diner, and they all have a CVS, and they all have a high school, and they all have a handful of elementary schools, but they're, like, it's not, like... how it is in the rest of the country, as I've found, where, like, you have a town, and you drive 30 miles, and you have a town, and you drive 30 miles, and you have a town. It's just, like, town, 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 town. Everything, like, stacked up against each other. So, if you're like me, and you didn't, like, know that many people in high school who liked the same kind of stuff that you liked, like, growing up in Long Island was awesome, because, like, there would be shows every weekend where there were a bunch of different ska bands, where it was, like, the other 4 or 5 weirdos from, like, you know, Babylon, who had a band, and, like, you'd hang out with them, and, like, it just kind of seemed like every like high school like 10 or 20 weird people who would like go to these shows, and all these shows were awesome. And I think that just kind of like that gave me that sense and that feeling that like even music just being a community, which I know seems like a very like cliche thing to say, but like, you know, just kind of how music can make you feel less alone, and literally can make you less alone if like you have the courage to leave your house and to leave your high school and to meet new people and to actually talk to people. And that's something that has kind of, I've tried to keep with me forever as I've like had social anxiety stuff, like especially when a bomb was starting, like, cause my first band, like I didn't talk to anybody. Like I talked to like fans and stuff, but like I never settled shows, I never like dealt with money, I never booked a show. Like our trombone player did all that, he was awesome. When it started bomb, I had to do that, I had to like talk to all these people. But like because it was in this like community where, you know, first of all, like ska punk being the base of it is already something that like people are not really taking hyper seriously in a lot of ways, so it just kind of feels like it's an okay space to be goofy or screw up or take it seriously. Like you can, it felt like a really blank slate for me to like, one, have that attitude of community, two, have a whole bunch of different instrumentation that like you could do whatever you want because you're not just like, you know, guitar, bass, drums, band, you know, and there aren't a bunch of those. So there's a lot of ways. And I still love all those records that I liked when I was a kid. Like Suicide Machines, A Slow Gherkin, and MU330, and The Chinkies, and Skank and Pickle, and Against All Authority. Like, all these bands made just awesome records that I still think are really good and really thoughtful. And I feel like there's a secret world of, like, awesome music now that people are not, like, super getting into because it has this shine on it that people are like, oh man, this isn't cool. And I think that that's awesome. I think that it's cool that there's just like a secret stash of rad records somewhere that I think when people like dive in, they'll be like, oh man, Animal Chin was actually awesome. This is cool, you know?
Just moving on, talking about, I guess, like talking to people and things like that. How has it been different? Or what's it been like on your recent tours when you are working with more like booking people, working with like Polyvinyl and Side One Dummy with your recent records? How's that been different from Bomb the Music Industry?
It's different just because I'm not doing all the stuff, which I do miss a little bit, but they're just simply like, if I was doing all this stuff, we wouldn't be on tour as much. We wouldn't be put, I wouldn't be able to put as, like, write as much music, and we wouldn't be able to be on the road as much as we are. But, like, one thing is that we've been really lucky with the people that we've worked with. Like, side one, we were immediately friends. Everybody at Polyvinyl was immediately awesome and nice. Our booking agent is somebody who, like, I played with, like, his first emo band, My Heart to Joy, a bunch, and he was in that band, The World is a Beautiful Place. And so we were already friends, and we were already just, like, talking about, like, whenever we play in Boston, I'd just be like, yo, Greg, are there any good bands in Boston? I feel like we play with the same band every time we're in Boston. He'd be like, yeah, these are sick bands. Like, so we were already talking about that kind of stuff. Our tour manager is who, like, figures out all the logistics for everything, which is, like, the reason we're talking to each other. Like, if this email came to me, I would just be like, I'm driving, man. I don't care. I forget about everything. But, like, our tour manager is my wife. We talk about all this stuff all the time. And she's, like, figuring out, like, logistics for everything constantly, not just for this band, but with Craig of the Creek stuff and record label stuff and, like, really record stuff, just, like, everything. Like, we're figuring it all out together at home all the time. Our sound person, Rick, is, like, one of my oldest friends, and he was in Bond the Music Industry for a while. And I've played in his band Sharkanoid a bunch, and he was in Mustard Plug, and we toured a lot together. And everybody else who travels with us, like, we're all just friends. So it is, I do miss, I don't know, it feels a little bit less like being, and there's a weird thing to say, and I don't expect it to make too much sense because I still try to feel it out, but, like, it feels a little bit less like being a real person, which is something that I miss for sure. You know, having just, like, I don't know, just talking to people about normal crap that goes on with dealing with the show and stuff, and just, like, the weirdness of, like, instead of walking out and it's, like, a manageable, like, 40 or 50 people that I could talk to, it's, like, hundreds of people, and it's, like, I can't possibly try and figure out how to, like, talk to everybody for as long as I feel like everybody deserves to be talked to, and just, like, having this weird, like, this weird, I don't know, thing put that people, I don't know, when people respond to your music, it's like they know you, and that makes a lot of sense, and I understand that. But, like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like people give me a little too much credit for being, like, you know, whatever. It's just, like, I don't know, like, I've been an idiot and made a ton of mistakes in my life, and I think that, like, I feel like when I'm talking to people sometimes, it's just like, yeah, like, you could talk to me like a normal person, because I screw up all the time, and I've, like, screwed up plenty of things way worse than you probably have before, you know? And that's all weird stuff that comes with growing, but, like, as far as, like, the people, I think that's something that has really kept me grounded and kept all of us grounded, is that, like, at the end of the day, we're still eight schmucks getting in a van and, like, you know, talking crap about whatever, like, all the time, and it's still just, like, we're just in a band with our friends. And it's fun, you know?
That's kind of all the questions I have for now, but do you have anything else you'd like to say?
If you're listening to this and you're thinking of not voting this year, you're a psycho. Go vote. Vote this year. You have to vote. This is the year to do it. Please. Please. That's all.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
For Real College Podcast, I'm Ben Hallen.
Well, that's going to be all for this week of Real College Podcast. As always, Real College Podcast is produced by Ben Hallam, Liv Briggins, and Nathan Fervoy. Me, Alex Schumacher, is the host and managing editor. Super big thanks to Ben for doing the interview for this week's episode. Real College Podcast is a production of Radio K, and all of our episodes can be found online at radiok.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.